The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Now, you're very welcome back to the show. So I want you to cast your minds back to May 2018. Mayo against Galway in Castlebar in the Connacht Championship. It was the start of the second half and suddenly Tom Parsons is in agony. And we look at the replay and it's a messy, innocuous coming together. However, his knee has just borne the brunt of the collision and it pushed it in a direction it was not designed to go. Damage was very clearly career-threatening. It was a dislocated knee, three ruptured knee ligaments, one torn knee ligament, a torn calf and a torn hamstring. Now, Tom spoke to us later the following month, back in the summer of 2018. Here's a brief minder of where he was then.
Every injury is different and every injury is unique because it's always a different mechanism or a different force and there's always slight variations. But, you know, like, I suppose professional athletes can come back within 12 months or a little bit after 12 months, 15 months, you know.
Right.
But that takes, with that, it's, you know, talking to two guys I've spoken to. One guy plays with his own Masters and has played with Connacht, a fantastic guy, and he's given me loads of words of wisdom. You know, I think he was 12 or 13 months. But again, he was different to me, and the other guy is a South African rugby player, John de Villiers, actually. He was up on, I think, 9 months or 10 months. Mm. But again, you know, it's very different if you're using artificial ligaments or you're using your own ligaments or donor ligaments, and whether you do it in one go or two goes. So every injury is unique. So I've been told not to try and benchmark my injury off anybody else's because yes, they are so different.
I read you had one surgery in Santry already and the plan is to have a second surgery later in the year.
Yeah. So I had one last Saturday in Santry, and I suppose going into it, I was half hoping maybe we could nail all of it, but as it transpired, we were able to do half, and it might be 10 or 12 weeks. We're looking at 3 months, but I can go in and do the rest of it. So that is a frustrating bit because I suppose I'm going to be 3 months now and non-weight bearing and in a brace and in crutches for the most part, and and building up that knee to go in and do more surgery again. So
right.
It will be the first four and a half months will be just frustrating, you know.
Yeah.
I know then after that, hopefully, if the next surgery goes well, that puts it back on my feet and I can get back and start doing, you know, walking and real exercises with that.
Mm.
You know, mentally that would be
huge.
That would be good, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. So when you say half, is it just a case that they could only sort out two of the four ligaments or is it more complicated than that?
Yeah, a little bit more complicated than that. But yeah, essentially that's it. You know, I mean, I have two deep ligaments, the ACL and the PCL, that you can't do without the inflammation being completely gone, and as well as the work that they've done initially, you know, they want to need to strengthen up those and get those repaired so that you're not trying to rehab everything and you can keep some sort of mobility and keep stiffness out of the knees. So I'll certainly just trust the experts, and I definitely have fantastic people on board, fantastic surgeon on board, fantastic medical team, and I'm lucky my wife is a physiotherapist as well, so I'll be taking all her advice and team's advice on board because, you know, yourself, athletes can be, especially with this injury, you can get caught into trying to do too much, which is detrimental, and you really need to just follow the process and protocols, and that is the advice I'm getting to date.
Right, so the rugby players you've talked to and various people you've spoken to maybe gave you that advice. Have they come through it, Tom? Are they back playing in the main?
Yeah. They are owners back playing competitively, and the other guy, John, is retired, but he came back to play the World Cup, you know.
Yeah.
And
so that must give you a sense of comfort then, to know that you're not talking to guys who said, well, I couldn't quite get back, but here's my advice, best of luck with it, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I look hard enough, there's a million cases of guys who haven't came back, but all you need is to find yourself two or three case studies. And, you know, myself and I think most athletes and GA people, you know, are willing to put in the hard work if there's light at the end of the tunnel. So that doesn't scare me. And it's a bit like the Roger Bannister, like once he has somebody who has ran a 4 minute mile, everybody starts doing it. So I have my case studies. I have, nobody is saying no at the moment, Joe. And that's the main thing, you know, and just keep positive and keep the mindset right, and look forward to the journey and look forward to getting back into the male jersey.
And I'm happy to report that he is now a case study himself, because 15 months after that injury, he played in an All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin, and he's live on the line. Tom Parsons, evening to you.
Good evening. How are you, Joe?
Very well. Long time no talk.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny listening to that. It's come on 2 years nearly, you know. It's crazy. It seems so far away, but still so fresh in my mind.
Yeah, what was your mind? So that we talked for about 20, 25 minutes that evening, and you got a huge reaction, and the well wishes you received, I think, even when you were turning up at Mayo games on crutches, was quite incredible. But your mindset was very determined at that point. When you look back from this vantage point, you must have been slightly terrified, distraught, and very uncertain. Can you remember how you were feeling around that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, initially, with these things, you know, you probably don't 100% believe that you will return, but you try and embed that mindset. And the more you embed it and you talk about it and you work toward that, I suppose, and the more targets you meet along the way, I just felt that the closer I got to the goal of coming back and playing, the stronger that belief system was. But there was no doubt about it. And every step of the way, Joe, there was that fear element with some exercises that I was doing.
I tell you what, Tom, I'm just going to jump in because the Wi-Fi is just letting us down a touch. We'll take a short ad break and then we'll come back and we'll get you on the phone and do this properly, because we're going to spend 20 minutes chatting. We'll be back in one sec with Tom Parsons. Apologies.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
I'm a 28-year-old, fairly fit guy. I go to the gym, play football, and it was on Thursday that I had to call an ambulance. I've broke my back before. I've had pneumonia before. I've had a collapsed lung. I've had a plethora of things. This is by far and away the worst. It is a cruel, cruel illness.
Hear the full News Talk Breakfast podcast at newstalk.com and on the News Talk app. It always feels better to go direct. Sam learned that the hard way when he asked Emily to ask Tom, who knew Alan, who knew Sarah, to ask Emma to the Debs.
Sam who?
Going direct is always the best way to go, especially when it comes to switching to Energia and Ireland's cheapest dual fuel bundle. Come to us directly and you'll get the biggest savings with a 35% discount on gas and a 36% saving on electricity. Visit energia.ie. Energia, the power behind your savings. EAB €1,493 based on average annual usage, 12-month contract, discounted unit rate, standing charge, PSO levy and carbon tax, T's and C's and early termination fee apply. Valid from January 2020 and subject to change. Verification and T's and C's at energia.ie/EAB.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
Okay, sorry about that, everyone. Take two. Tom Parsons, you're there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Much better, much better. Sometimes the old-fashioned way is the best, so there we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned, you know, kind of strange listening to yourself doing the interview back, coming up on 2 years ago. Do you have a vivid memory of the actual incident itself? Like, is it etched on the brain, or is it something you can go weeks and months without even thinking about these days?
Yeah, to be honest, now I don't. You know, in the initial few months, it certainly was. And, you know, the initial stages of the recovery and some of the goals I needed to meet through rehab, you know, the mechanism would pop up in your head sometimes. But, you know, at the moment, it's just fantastic to be able to, you know, from week to week on a daily basis and training basis, to not even be thinking about it and to be at that phase where, you know, it is a distant memory, but, you know, I suppose every now and again, you know, people will mention it and talk about such the horrific injury that it was. And, it comes back to my mind, you know, it was something that was just horrific. But, you know, something, it's weird to say, Joe, something I wouldn't swap, because the character building piece, the relationships that I built, it was an incredible journey to come back and play, to be honest.
Tell me about the relationships then that you built along the way.
Yeah, I suppose it's maybe in times of adversity you realise, you know, how close, who's in your close circles. And, you know, incredible to have, you know, my wife, Carol, who's a physiotherapist, you know, every day, you know, helped me out with rehab, you know, went to every single session in sports surgery clinic and every rehab session. And just your teammates as well, you know, checking in with you every on a weekly and a monthly basis to see how progress and rehab is going and your family. So, you know, ultimately, it's the people around you, the people who you can surround yourself with that really helps in times of adversity like that.
What did the rehab entail at its most time-consuming?
Yeah, you know, it varied. It started, Joe, you know, really basic rehab and, you know, walking, resistance bands, leg lifts, and then it progressed to strength exercises in the gym, to walking in the pool, to movement, to then testing out basic plyometrics, to walking, jogging, advanced plyometrics. So there was so many different stages. And what was I suppose great about it was I didn't focus on the end goal of coming back to play. I just broke it up into mini goals. And a phrase that, you know, one of my coaches who was fantastic along the journey was Enda King. He heads up rehab in the sports surgery clinic. And, you know, I'd keep pressing him, Joe. I'd say, well, when will I be running, or when will I be jumping or kicking a ball or doing skill work? And he said, Tom, don't worry about that. Just what I want you to do is every Friday, write down a question. He said, just write down the question. Are you stronger this Friday than you were last Friday? And if that answer is yes every week, eventually you will get to your goal where you want to get to.
Yeah, it's good advice. And so are we talking 2-3 hours a day? Are we talking more? I mean, because it sounds a lot of the things you've detailed there like mentally very boring work.
Yeah, initially it was, because initially I was doing two sessions of icing between surgeries. I was doing electrotherapy, and then I had basic rehab exercises. But, you know, after my surgeries and once I was able to actually train, when I say actually train, I was able to get into a gym, I was able to do strength exercises, plyometric exercises, that would have went down to maybe 90 minutes to 2 hours every day. Right. And I suppose I was lucky too that, Joe, that, you know, I work with Jacobs Engineering, a fantastic company who, you know, who supported me through this as well. So, you know, I was 7 months off work because I couldn't work because I had three surgeries over a 3-month period and I was wearing a leg brace. So I did have time on my hands to spend those hours every day. And then the challenging piece came when I returned to work and trying to balance the rehab, the work, you know, and the whole work-life balance with sport as well.
What did you do with all the spare time? I mean, there's a half a parallel with what a lot of people are doing right now. They have suddenly a lot more time than they wanted on their hands around the house. Did you manage to use it productively, or was it Netflix, or was it just, you know, staring into space a lot of the time?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I used it wisely, and in that, I suppose, rehab was the first thing in the diary, but I probably very similar to a lot of people are in now. I was isolated for 3 months because I was wearing a leg brace. I couldn't get around the place. My wife was working, so from 8 a.m. till 7 p.m, I was solo in the house on my own. So you use that time, Joe, to do a little bit of learning and development and personal growth. I invested in audiobooks and podcasts and used that time to explore areas from that capacity, and probably, you know, to my detriment, and a lot of athletes do this, really studied my injury and really studied the biomechanics of recovery. And, you know, I think that just was a torture to my wife, Carol, who's a physio, because I challenge everybody and everything. Mm. But I think, you know, to overcome an injury like this, you nearly need to have that element of obsession and understanding to really understand the mechanisms of it.
Because without having studied the mechanisms and just knowing what had happened to you, and given that you were 30 years of age, I thought you were goosed. You know, I thought 30 years of age, this is not happening. I mean, you might get back playing with Charlestown, a bit of club football, and hopefully in 10 or 15 years' time, he's able to kick a ball around a park kind of a thing. That was how I, to be honest, felt the story was likely to end, given the severity and the rarity of comeback cases. Did anyone sit you down and say, Tom, look, we've got to be realistic here. Inter-county levels of athleticism are not probably on the cards for you.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'll never forget actually being in Galway University Hospital and getting the CT scan and waiting to hear, you know, there was a risk that my motor nerve was gone. So my foot had went black, and I didn't say this at the time because I didn't want the headlines of that piece, but I'll never forget actually being told by the specialist that, you know, you will get function of your leg. But I'll never forget being in my hospital bed in Galway University Hospital, and, you know, I had you're in a ward, but you have the sheets covering your bed, and people were whispering, saying, that's Tom Parsons in there, did you see his injury, it was horrific. And I could hear people whispering about my injury, and in that then, this doctor came in, and he didn't realise, I suppose, how special I was, but he picked up the chart, and I just said, Doc, and I was in pretty good form at the time because I was just told that my motor nerve was intact. I just said, Doc, when will I be able to run again? When will I be able to play? And I wasn't really expecting an answer, Joe, but I'll never forget what he said. He said, he just put the chart down, and he said, my friend, he said, you know, this is a car crash injury. You know, you will never be able to run again. This is your reality. And I was just like, whoa. And I never forgot that. And, you know, but, you know, that was, I suppose, medical opinion, reading a chart. But from day one, when I went into the sports surgery clinic, you know, the surgeon was Ray Moran, fantastic guy. Mm. Again, Enda King. You know, nobody said this is beyond the realms of possibilities, but there's no doubt about it. I think publicly and on a lot of news talks, you know, people definitely said that was the end. Yeah. I'll never forget that, the medical opinion in the hospital that day, though.
His bedside manner could be worked on, but we'll talk about that another time. Why had your leg turned black? Sorry, I didn't fully follow that. Black?
Yeah, no, it was just circulation from the injury. So you have a sensory nerve and you have a motor nerve. So the sensory nerve, I think, was sheared, but the motor nerve wasn't.
Okay.
So there was, at the time, I needed to get a scan to ensure that was all in place. So that was the worrying part on the night. And I tell you what, the sense of gratitude that you get when, you know, a specialist comes in and said, you know, you're a lucky man, you'll get full function of your leg.
Yes. And were you always determined to get back playing for Mayo? Because I wouldn't think it would be a total rarity for somebody in that position to just want to get back able to function normally and not risk injuring him or herself again. You know, I've had one brush with potentially a life-changing injury. I'm just going to get back and keep myself safe, as opposed to putting yourself back in the fire pit again almost.
Yeah, well, you know, I 100% believe that if I didn't have the goal to come back and play with Mayo, I probably wouldn't be walking right or be able to go for a run or a jog or play with my little boy once he grows up. And so, because this injury needed that level of attention, that level of motivation to get back. But the back of my mind, you know, playing with Mayo is something very special. And, you know, the guys that I play with are a very resilient bunch, and I think if this injury happened to any of them, they would, you know, move mountains to come back and play for me. And it was an incredible moment to come back and train with the guys and put on that Mayo jersey. So it was worth every ounce of energy, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd say it was. Well, against Dublin in the All Ireland semi final, I know you'd been in the squad for the Donegal game in the Super 8s. And obviously in Croke Park at that stage, Dublin had put in the most ridiculous 12 minutes we're ever likely to see, and they were just kind of untouchable and on fire, and the game was kind of gone. But you came on around the hour mark for Shamie O'Shea, I think, and you must be disappointed, clearly, for the team and for the county and everything. But to run out of Croke Park again, did you allow yourself that moment of acknowledgement that this is borderline miraculous here, and was there a sense of happiness, or could you not separate it from what was happening to the team?
Yeah, to be honest, probably I couldn't separate that, because, you know, at that stage, in my mind, the goalposts had shifted. The goalpost at that moment was to help my team to overcome an All-Ireland semi-final and be preparing for a final. Mm. So, I couldn't accept any plaudits after the game. But what was the special moment that I did really digest, and I suppose what was the first training session I had in Mayo. I'll never forget coming back and just training, and, you know, at the end of training, Andy Moore, an incredible guy, yeah, you know, he just said, you know, I'd like to, guys, can we just acknowledge what Tom Parsons did here? He's came back and he's trained like, you know, like he did before pre-injury, and the lads just gave me a clap. And that, just getting verification from your teammates, just meant the absolute world. And that was probably the highlight of, you know, I wasn't the playing in Croke Park in front of 80,000 people. It was your teammates actually saying respect.
Mm. Well, maybe in some ways that's a more intimate moment anyway, a more special moment than running out of Croke Park.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in that moment, my mind was return to play. And then when I was playing in Croke Park, it was performance. We need to win, you know. So, and I suppose that's the kind of competitive mindset, you know, we have to have. But it is important, Joe, you know, that to reflect back and be grateful and enjoy putting on the jersey. So, you know, the minutes I've played this year with Mayo, I've said to myself, just every time I put on that jersey, just to embrace it, just to enjoy it, because, you know, we're so privileged, inter-county footballers and club footballers, to actually be fit and healthy to play a game that we absolutely love. And sometimes we lose touch with that and it becomes a chore. And this year I've just thoroughly enjoyed training and playing and being in the dressing room.
And what's been the legacy? Are you the same player? Do you feel the same out there? Or are there certain little quirks and moments where you feel you're still getting back to what you were?
Yeah, physically I'm ticking all the boxes, max speeds, change of direction. So, I mean, my challenge now is to come back to peak performance. And, you know, I got my first full game against Galway in the FPD this year and kicked a point and was happy with my game. And then I started against Donegal, I started against Kerry. But like that, I've actually more concerned with other aspects of my body, with niggles and with my hamstring and so forth. So I think it comes with the territory of being 32, Joe. Yeah. But I'm actually blown away by just how good my knee feels and how that rehab has paid off. So really just trying to focus on return to performance now.
Did I see rightly that John de Villiers sent you a letter?
Yeah, he did. You know, a friend of mine, Joe McBrain, reached out to him, I think, on social media, and, you know, I think shared the image. And I was blown away by the message that, you know, Jean de Villiers sent back to me. It was really, you know, someone like that to take time out of their day to send, you know, a detailed script of his journey. Mm. And in doing that, you know, it just made me reflect on, you know, the last 18 months. You know, a lot of people have reached out to me, and, you know, I try to give my own perspective on things from a mental health mindset perspective and in how I can help others. So, it's been amazing, the messages of support that I've got.
Yeah, I can imagine. The clock's coming against us. I knew it would. There's about 20 other things I wanted to ask you about, even Mayo football generally, but we'll do that another time. If you had to kind of sum up, I mean, you said at the start I wouldn't necessarily trade what I've been through, and I know what you mean. What's the big takeaway, or what maybe impact has the whole two-year experience had on you?
Yeah, the impact, I suppose, is number one, just gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, I really love our game. I think we've got a really special game, and the privilege to certainly play with Mayo and the support network that we have there is incredible. And for me, just the sense of sense of resilience that I built. You know, everybody, I think we can't, nobody in life can escape bereavement, you know, in people's families, you know, cancers is so prevalent. We're all going to experience setbacks. We're all experiencing it now with COVID-19. We all, if it's not ourselves, we have a family member that's vulnerable. And, you know, that there's a fear element there. And, you know, it just resonated with me that we all have setbacks, but just the ability to bounce back and the personal satisfaction you get from doing that has been huge. And since the injury, Joe, I've probably spoken to, you know, a few thousand kids at this stage on resilience, on mindset. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's definitely helped a few people along the way, just as people have helped me.
Good man. Well, listen, absolutely amazing to get back from that, and I can only imagine all the errors and the sacrifices. And well, here's to, well, hopefully a 2020 championship and certainly a 2021 championship. Tom Parsons, thanks so much, Tom. Great to catch up again.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.